Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you here. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas this past week, and we'll be singing a few more Christmas songs today as well. I wonder what it was like for Joseph and Mary after all the everything happened, right? I mean, wow, did that just happen? And there's this little baby, just like a normal child, and yet they knew from the angel who he was. Praise the Lord for our great Savior. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we praise you for this Christmas time and remembering once again the coming of our Savior, born in a manger, born as one of us. We praise you that he was willing to sacrifice all that he sacrificed to come down here and take on human life as well as remaining divine. The unique God-man, no one else like him in the universe, in all of creation. And Father, we are in awe again and humbled to think that it's because of us that he was willing to come. It grieves us that we are sinful, but we are filled with joy that despite that, you love us still and provided the only way that could save us. He was willing to come. You were willing to send him. The Spirit was willing to work through him in his ministry and to be involved in the actual conception in some supernatural way. When Mary conceived Jesus. Father, these are truths beyond our comprehension, but they are real, they are true, and they happened. And our Savior lived that life, and he died in our place, as we talked about in Sunday school today, shed his blood on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life if we would trust in him and believe in him. Thank you that he rose again on the third day, that he ascended into heaven, he's seated at your right hand, and he's coming back. And it could be today that we hear the trumpet and are called home. Father, we pray that as we worship you in this hour, as we focus on Jesus and think about him again, may we rejoice in him, honor him, worship him as he deserves, and may your Spirit move in our hearts and change us, draw us closer to you, help us to be more like him, and bless our fellowship with one another during this hour and afterwards as we talk together. May your Spirit move and the love of Christ be seen from every heart. We commit this hour to you. Bless Pastor again as he preaches. And we pray for all of us here today, if there's anyone who doesn't know Jesus yet, has not put their faith and trust in him alone to save them from their sins, may they do that in this hour. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, we're going to read Matthew chapter 2. We're looking at the wise men, the Magi, the ones who came from the east, all right? I know Christmas is over, some people say, oh, well, forget it. No, we're still in the mood. So we're going to speak about the wise men. I think they have some lessons for us to learn. And, of course, the scripture is always relevant, isn't it? No matter, I know sometimes we sing Christmas carols in June, July, right? So we're going to have the wise men this morning. Chapter 2, Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. For when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your precious word to our hearts, this wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture that we read in the Gospel of Matthew, of how you led these men in such a clear way from a long distance away to come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we have gathered here this morning to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you that you have saved us by your grace and mercy. It's only through him that we can have salvation, whether he be a babe in the manger, whether he be a young child, or whether he be an adult, or whether he be the eternal Son of the living God. We just pray, O God, help us. Help us that we might be our very best for him. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our shortcomings, our Father. So often, we don't know what to do. We find ourselves wondering, how can we handle the situation? And I just pray that you will help each one of us to look to you and find the strength and courage that we need. We do pray, our Father, for those who are having difficulties, those who are ill, those who have disabilities, and all of these things, O God. We pray that you'll give grace and mercy and love, just like you did the Apostle Paul with his thorn in the flesh. Lord, help us to look to you and to rejoice in the fact that we have that mansion over the hilltop. Lord, that we have salvation through our Lord Jesus, and someday we'll be in your presence. Help us, Lord. Keep us. Make us what you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Okay, well, just as we saw the poor shepherds come to the manger to worship Christ, so a little later, the wealthy wise men came to worship him also. We know it wasn't, they didn't come to the manger. They were wherever he was when he was a baby. The Bible is very clear. It was not a baby, it was a young child. How old he was, I don't know. But the important thing is, they were worshiping Jesus.
Amen.
Whether he's a baby, whether he's a young child, whether he's an adult, whether, you know, through all eternity, we worship the Lord Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? And here, we find Jesus came for everyone. Right? The poor shepherds, the wise men, and everyone in between. Here we are, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We belong to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's our Savior. He bought us mm-hmm. with his precious blood on the cross, and we belong to him. He came to be the King of the Jews, but he also came to open up the wide the door for salvation for the Gentiles. It's clear. As we read through the Christmas story and the other stories relating to it, we see that he came for everyone. And God sent his special messengers from heaven to proclaim the coming of his Son into the world. We've seen about Gabriel and the angel of the Lord it speaks of, and the dreams that Joseph had. And all this, God prepared their hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus and for his ongoing life. And he also placed this special star in the sky. We sang about the star a while ago. A special star in the sky that appeared at just the right time to show these magi, the wise men from the east, where to go. Now they got a little confused along the way, I know. The star disappeared for a while. God probably said, well, see if you can make it on your own. Maybe. And they had to go to Jerusalem, and they talked about there with the people and saw the king. They thought, well, you know, reasoning, humanly speaking, you would think, well, where would the king be? He would be in the capital city, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he be in Jerusalem? That's what they would think. They probably haven't read that particular verse that says he was born in Bethlehem, right over in Michael. So anyway, we find that they went to Jerusalem looking for him. And then the star came again and guided them to exactly where he was. And the wise men, the magi, who were these guys? The highly educated men who dedicated themselves to studying the stars. I guess people still do that today. They have astronomers, right? And they study the stars thinking that that's going to tell them something. I don't know. I guess it did here, didn't it? So we can't really poo-poo that too much because it seems that it does happen sometimes. But they were not kings, okay? I was thinking, when we sang We Three Kings, Lord, and our, you know, I know Steve had to grit his teeth, I'm sure, because he knows that they weren't kings. But anyway, I said this one other time when we sung that. I said, if you just change two words in there, it's perfectly biblical.
Mm-hmm.
We, wise men of Orient Order. That's all you got to do. Change it. And in the great, the rest of it is true. And these wise men often advise the king. You know, in Babylon, Daniel was the head of the wise men. Says right? The king appointed him as the chief over the wise men, or the others that advised the king. They came from the east. It could have been Babylon, or it could have been Persia or some other place up over there. And we wonder, how did they know all of this? Well, Daniel, he lived a long life there in Babylon. He could have very easily talked these men many of the truths of the Word of God, and that the king of Israel is going to be born. And so they were looking forward to that. So anyway, it was a long trip. It must have taken, I don't know, several months, or maybe, I don't know, 2 years. Maybe. Because the king asked him, you know, when did you see the star to begin with, huh? And they told him. And so he killed all the babies, young children, there you go, under 2 years old and under, right? So I don't know if they said he appeared 2 years ago, or maybe he just wanted to make sure he got them all. That's probably it. Anyway, it took quite a while to get there. So they traveled a long distance to get there. And they were determined to worship the new king of Israel. They realized that he was so very, very important to everyone. The question is, how did they know about him? Well, they said, we have seen his star in the east. How did they know this was his star? I don't know what it was about it. Maybe, you know, it had a certain brightness to it. I don't know. But anyway, what was it? God placed it there, I think. Especially for that. I don't think it was just, another star that naturally would appear. I think he put it there on purpose. Perhaps read the Jewish scriptures. And in Numbers 24:17 it says, I shall see him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So, there it talks about a star that's going to appear. It's going to introduce us to a very important person. It doesn't go into the detail we would like, but at any rate, it's certainly talking about Jesus. And here Matthew brings that in to us. So tens of thousands of Jews lived in Babylon during the exile. Among them, as I said, Daniel the prophet, interpreted the dreams for King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was appointed the leader over all the wise men of Babylon. So no doubt he taught them a great deal about what was going to happen, the hope of Israel. You know, he surely would have done that, because this was what they were looking forward to, the Messiah. And all through the Old Testament you find that. And they were looking forward to his coming. And now the star appears. And at any rate, the Magi understood that the star appearing indicated the birth of the king. So they made their journey to Jerusalem, and expecting to find him there. This is where they thought he would be. But instead, who did they find? Wicked King Herod, right? This man who had already killed most of his family because he thought they were going to take over, you know? Oh my goodness. Such a wicked person. And he wasn't even a pure Jew. He was an Edomite. And yet Rome had placed him there as the king of the Jews. And he was an imposter. And so he wasn't very happy when he found out that there was another king that was born. And the amazing thing about it is, you know, this man, Herod the king, had the same opportunity that the wise men did, that the other men, the people there, the chief priests and all of those people, they knew that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. They said that. He asked, where is he going to be born? They said, in Bethlehem. So what did they do? That was it. They sent the wise men, yes. But they didn't go. You know, but people are like that today. They go, oh, yeah, yeah, no, Jesus is the Savior. You know, that kind of thing. No, 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 no. We need to realize who he is and what he means to us. This wicked king could have been changed if he had repented. That's the word. Start to say you wanted to, not that wouldn't work. No, he repented and put his faith in this Messiah. You know, this would be the beginning of a whole new life for him. And these other people, the scribes and the Pharisees and all of them, they could have gone to see if this were true, but they didn't. Herod understood that the king, the wise men were seeking, was the Messiah. He said that. Where is the Christ to be born? You see, what made him think of that? Well, because he knew the scriptures, how they knew the scriptures. And yet, they did nothing about it. Just like people today. You know, oh yes, I believe. Yes, God's real. Oh yes, 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 yes. But then it doesn't mean anything. So Herod found out that the wise men, that Jesus found out from the wise men, that Jesus was less than 2 years old, as I said before. He pretended to desire to worship him and told the wise men to report back to him exactly where the child was. He's trying to make it easy on himself, right? He's villain. Here he is. Lying. You know, what is one of the chief tricks of the devil?
Deception.
Deceiving, right? Mm-hmm. Deceit. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. The serpent came and deceived Eve, right? Mm-hmm. And they're still doing that today. These snakes. They're going around deceiving. And Satan, that's his chief tool. And so here, he tells them, oh yeah, yeah, I'm a firm believer in the Messiah. You know, I'll come and worship him as well. But he intended to kill them as he did later. As you see all these children. Oh my. Little children being massacred because of this wicked king and his ambition. Oh, terrible to think about, isn't it? You know, and yet we think about this matter that has been going on for a long, long time. Killing the children. Oh, well, I said, well, you know, well, it's the mother's. It's the mother's prerogative, right? To choose whether or not they want to bear this child or whether they want to kill it. Okay. Anyway, that's still going on today. You know, talk about the Bible and how old fashioned it is. Well, here it is. Yeah. Same old thing again, right? And if it was wrong for them to kill the children in the first century, it's wrong to do it today.
Amen. Yeah?
I believe. And so anyway, we trust that that's going to change somewhat. I hope it will. We'll see. But anyway, here we find Herod, this wicked man, and all that he did. And killing all these children. It talks about the verse from Jeremiah where they were weeping over the death of these little ones that died innocently. They hadn't done a thing, and yet they were killed. Then we see this wonderful star. Where did the star come from? I mentioned that already. But here in verse 9 it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, star. Ah, how did that happen? You know, they'd gone all this way, the star arrived in the east, and it disappeared. Here it is again. When the time came, they saw the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. There you go. Indicated the exact spot where he was. And so when they saw the star, well, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I like that. It's wonderful the way the Bible expresses itself, you know. I really like that. Sometimes they weren't just happy, you know, they weren't just joyful, they were with exceeding great joy. This is as good as it gets, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And so they came and they went into the house. Now, it was, as I said, it was not the manger. He was older now, and they went into the house where they had settled for a while. I don't know how long they stayed there. Because eventually they end up back in Nazareth, right? But they're staying here for a while, here in Bethlehem. And so they moved into a house. And he saw there the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Very clear, right? They didn't worship Mary. She was the vessel that God used, the servant, the one that he chose because of who she was and her faith in God, her faith in Christ. And yet, they worshiped him. We don't worship anyone else except God, right?
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what the Scriptures teach us. And here, it's Jesus. And then they open those treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Significant gifts, the worthy gifts that they brought, the best, no doubt, that they had, I'm sure. They entered the house and they worshiped him. They brought the rich gifts to him. Gold, as for a king, that's the primary, most important one of the minerals. Frankincense. His role as a priest, the priesthood, is offering up the frankincense to God. And then the myrrh spoke of his death. Myrrh always spoke of death. There was that kind of... it says the term comes from the Hebrew term mar, which means bitter. Myrrh was used to prepare dead bodies for burial. The corpse was wrapped in layers of cloth, and spices were placed between the layers to cover the odor of decay. This final gift foreshadowed the suffering Jesus would endure on the cross in fulfillment of his role as Savior. Isn't that significant? Why would these wise men, why would one of them bring something that had to do with death? Well, because it's so important what Jesus did in dying for us, right? In providing the salvation that we have in him. It's bitter. You know, when we think about that, life is wonderful, right? Here we are, alive and well, everything's fine. But you know, death, it's bitter. It's bitter. Something that separates and tears us apart. And yet, Scripture says that the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. Death is not going to last forever, right? If we're Christians, if we put our faith in Christ, we have life. And even though this body will decay and die, we will have a new life with him forever. Isn't that wonderful? I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're looking to him. And so here we find they gave him these wonderful gifts. And then we see God warned the wise men. You know, it says in verse 12, God warned them in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Stay away from that guy. He's evil. They departed into their own country another way. They went back home, yes, but another way. You know, I guess I'm spiritualizing maybe a little bit there. But you know, once you come to Jesus and you know him, you worship him, you are different.
Right.
You don't go back the same way you came. You're different, right? So in that sense, and then we see God warned the wise men not to return to Herod, and they went home another way. He warned Joseph. The angel appeared to him in a dream, and he says there's danger. Herod is going to try to kill all of the, he's going to try to kill the young child, first of all. Jesus. So you need to leave immediately. And here Joseph again, give him credit, you know. Joseph doesn't always get the credit he deserves, I think. He was a faithful man of God. He was a faithful husband to Mary. He was a faithful father to Jesus. As an earthly man, he's not his son, but he adopted him, I guess you could say. And he obeyed at once. He took Jesus and Mary to safety in Egypt. And they stayed there until Herod died, several months later. I think they say Herod died in 4 B.C. So, you know, the dates are not exactly accurate. Jesus was born before Christ. Now, that's kind of hard, isn't it? What do you think? Jesus was born B.C. According to the way they've got the calendar figures up now, you can think about that for a while. They stayed there until Herod died. And when they returned, they settled in Nazareth in fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture. So they went back there. They came out of Egypt, he says, have I called my son. He called the Israel out of Egypt, you remember, under Moses, led them out. And here, he called Jesus out of Egypt, called my son out. So there's certainly an element of mystery in this beautiful story. There are a number of questions that remain unanswered. We don't understand everything. But we do see that the wise men acted on the knowledge they had, and they followed the light that God gave them. And by faith, they committed themselves to find Christ and worship him with the best gifts that they had to offer. They listened to the voice of God rather than the wicked king, and returned home filled with joy and satisfaction. Mission accomplished. And we would do well to follow their example. Right? Give of your best to the Master. Right? Let him have all that you have to give. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today, and pray that you will just use us as your servants and help us to be faithful. Forgive us wherein we fail. Forgive us wherein we doubt. And cleanse us from all sin. Help us to give our very best to you in every area of life. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name. Amen.
Praise the Lord for that wonderful name. We'll be back tonight at 6 for our evening service. Hope you can join us. And then on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here at the church, we'll be having our New Year's Eve time together as we watch a great movie and fellowship and delicious food. As we conclude, a benediction from Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.